Test, 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 1, 2, 3, test, test, test.
Okay, so, Jessica, first thing is the...
Well, three of us are in uniform tonight, Chris.
You know, Bruce, he always has to outshine us over there with his suits and...
To order, Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Larraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Questions, comments, or anything you want pulled for discussion?
Bunch of head nods, so I will move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us right to public hearings. Consideration to approve case number 2207-S, Newberry Place Subdivision. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, Troy Behunin, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. So the applicant's request for preliminary plat approval tonight is in order to subdivide approximately 18.64 acres into 98 single-family buildable lots, including with an additional 25 common lots for a total of 123. According to Exhibit 2.19, the City Engineer and the Public Works Department conditionally supports this subdivision, the Newberry Place subdivision, subject to the conditions listed in the memo, staff's memo. That support is also contingent on the applicant designing, constructing, and maintaining private ownership of a private operation of a proposed sewer lift station. Staff has determined the application generally complies with the goals and policies for the City of CUNA, CUNA City Code Title 5 and Title 6, and of Idaho State Statutes 50-222 and State Statutes 676511 and the Comprehensive Plan of the City of CUNA. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the preliminary plat to the Council, with the applicant being subject to the conditions listed in the staff's memo. And I will stand for any questions that the council has at this time.
Okay. Questions for Troy? None at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Troy.
And would the applicant like to present?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. Ben Semple with Rodney Evans and Partners, 1450 West Bannock Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. I'm here representing the developer and builder of the project. First and foremost, we're in agreement with the staff report and all of the conditions of approval, including the condition to construct, own, and maintain a private lift station on the property. We've also had some late correspondence with the school district where the developer and the school district have come to an agreement of a $2,000 per door mitigation payment to be made. And I can forward that email to Troy. I don't know if he was copied on that or not, that correspondence, but that was just received by myself today. That's an increase from an original agreement that they had with the school district. They increased that fee, and the developer agreed to that. Additionally, we're making the changes as outlined in the P&Z staff report for conditions of approval regarding moving the entrance into the off the southern edge of the property off of Butterfly Street that will be built, as well as maintaining a separate construction entrance independent of the adjacent Memory Ranch subdivision until final construction connects the roadway to their stub street. Really, that's all I have to add, and I would stand for additional questions if you have any.
Okay, questions for the applicant? Yes.
If you please, according to the neighborhood meetings, there were some comments that were lined out. Have those been addressed?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Laraway, in particular, we had talked about some heights of the buildings, some window design on those structures that will go back through a design review process for the buildings themselves. I'm not the architectural designer. The developers committed to building these homes that they don't have any second floor windows that look towards the adjacent residential. They'll all be interior to the site, looking interior there. There was some additional concern about the connection to Donaway. It's stubbed to the northern property boundary. It's always anticipated that that would be extended into this property. I think the main concern was that construction traffic and all traffic from this development was not routed through that subdivision. We will have Butterfly Street is connected directly to 10 Mile. That will be constructed with the first phase of the project. So that will be the primary entrance into and out of the subdivision until final build out is achieved. I think that those are the main concerns that I remember from the neighborhood meeting. My memory on another one.
One thing I didn't read, and I didn't see it until now, is ACHD going to require you to widen for a dedicated lane?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Laraway, some conversations with ACHD were that they were going to require some 10-mile right-of-way dedication. The developer would be required to build out those improvements. I think probably just dedicate the right-of-way for the future roundabout that's supposed to be at Butterfly and 10 Mile, but that all of that will be accomplished with this platting.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, anything further? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, and we did have a few people sign up. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in on the sign-in sheet? Okay. Start with Scott Barron. If you would just... step up to the mic and give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Scott Barron. I live in the Memory Ranch subdivision at 6881 South Nordean Avenue, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of the mayor and the city council, and I appreciate the developer's comment that they will build Butterfly. That was many of our main concern, that Butterfly be built. The only other thing that I ask with regard to South Donaway is the developer consider speed restriction bumps or some way to slow traffic down that could potentially move in and out of the north end of that proposed subdivision going in and out of our street. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. let's see. Charlie Manson. Clark, I'm sorry.
There you go.
No wonder people
I've been called a lot of things.
No wonder people were giggling. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
My glasses are dirty. No. I'll blame it on that.
My name is Clark Munson. I live at 3273 West Devotion Drive, which is the corner of Devotion and Donaway. So I'm right on the south end of Donaway. Now, I'm very pleased to see that the developer has agreed to use Butterfly as their construction road. That was a very major concern for our subdivision, was that they wouldn't be using Donaway as their construction. So we're very pleased with that. However, when I bought my property a little over 4 years ago, the subject property was zoned R6, just like Memory Ranch. So when I bought the property, I knew that someday Donaway would be extended to the south, and that's fine. and that there would be another subdivision behind me that would be similar to Memory Ranch. Now, somewhere along the line, and I don't know when or how, but the zoning got changed to R8. I was not aware of that until the first notice came out, I think it was last spring, that the subdivision was being proposed and the zoning was R8, and now there's going to be townhouses there. This, as the development as proposed, this is not compatible with Memory Ranch. It doesn't fit in with what Memory Ranch is. It would be so much better if that wasn't moved back to R6 and the developers came back with a plan to build single-family homes similar to what's in Memory Ranch. Now, from these drawings that I can see, and even the developer admits that the height of these townhomes are going to be taller than the tallest two-story home in Memory Ranch. And their widths, I don't know exactly what the widths are of the fourplexes, but they're going to be very, very long or wide, whichever way you want to face it. But my point is, it doesn't conform with what Memory Ranch has. It's a whole different subdivision. And I know they're saying, okay, well, we got a buffer and we can put some trees and this kind of thing. But still, you're not going to be able to hide it. I mean, these buildings are going to look way different than what we have in our subdivision. And I'd appreciate if you'd take a look at that and say, well, maybe we should go back and change this back to R6 and have them come back in a very short time and with a plan to build single-family homes. I know these developers are very capable of building a great single-family home subdivision. And I just would hope that you would do that. My other point is that I understand that developers have the right to develop their property to the highest and best use. This may be the highest use, but it's not the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clark. And that's all I had signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you would come up, if you would just sign in on this sheet here. That's in favor, neutral, and opposed. Okay, good. Yeah, you can go ahead and go to the mic there if you would. Just state your name and address for the record, please.
So my name's Hugo Castillo. I live at 3441 West Devotion Drive. And here, as well, just resounding the same information, you know, that Clark said that, you know, I know we've got really good developers doing this project, but it's the same thing. I bought my house there just a little bit over 3 years ago. And, you know, same thing, just from looking at some of the designs on there, it just doesn't seem to fit what is currently there alongside. And I understand, you know, that we've got to bring in housing, you know, because it's something that is needed. But I would just ask you to consider taking another look at it. You know, because that's the whole thing is about flow, having something that flows, having something that looks good, appealing as well, that we bring into the city. And, again, I would just hope, you know, that you take another look at it and maybe consider going back, you know, to single-family dwellings as well. That's just want to voice my opinion on this as well.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle.
Sorry, Minister.
You're fine. That's a high-tech pen with a cap.
That's so
Thank you.
Hello, Mayor Steer, councilmen. Thank you for allowing me an opportunity to speak. Danielle Horace, 711 East Porter, representing CUNA School District as the Director of Strategic Partnerships. I stand in support of Newberry, and I want to let you know that I'm really proud that the folks who are associated with the subdivision have collaborated and partnered with CUNA School District. They reached out to us. They understand that we are in a position where, frankly, we need to have help from folks besides our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and community citizens. We need both, definitely. We need our bond to pass. And this developer actually has supported us and is allowing us to engage as partners with them so that we can make sure that every kid in CUNA has a place to learn. And I wanted you all to know that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? All right. Would the applicant like to step back up?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, again, Ben Semple, 1450 West Bannock, Boise, Idaho. Just real quick, in response to some of the concerns from the neighbors, we're in constant communication with ACHD right now regarding, you know, where the roads are going to end up falling, specifically how the design of Butterfly is evident in the staff report. There's some work to do on what that road section looks like with maybe a center median and some landscaping. We'll definitely engage them in conversations about traffic calming at the Donaway interface with this project. We really want the residents of this to use Butterfly. That's going to be the main road in and out, not only the construction entrance, but will be the main in and out that's built first. So people will get used to using that point of access. So hopefully that will stay that way. We'll also talk with police and fire to make sure that anything we do, whether it's a bulb out or some sort of speed bumps or something like that, that complies with emergency services. The rezone to R8, that was done previous to this. The developer actually came into this. It had been annexed and zoned R8, and so we're just complying with that zoning. We have taken some care in how this lays out, specifically where the homes are along the north, trying to provide in excess of the setbacks that are required, as well as there's a canal there with the associated easements and roads. And so anything that we do as a buffer is outside of that canal easement. The heights of these, again, we're being very sensitive along the north in particular to make sure that we're not only in compliance with the heights that are allowed in the zone, but that it does create more of a transition from the homes further to the south to the Memory Ranch project. While it does get close to the same elevation, maybe a couple feet higher as you're right up by the canal, the majority of this property is lower. It does slope from the north to the south. So we feel that the impact, while development always has an impact on people around them, it'll be pretty minimal and hopefully not very intrusive. And the architecture is still under development. As I stated, we'd come back for design review of those structures when they're completed all the way. There's extra buffering along the north. We're going to be putting in landscape treatment as well as fencing. We're talking to the irrigation district. Typically, they want something that's more of like a chain link for safety, but the developer has also indicated they're willing to put in a second fence, subject to irrigation district approval, that would be a privacy fence to help provide some additional privacy. I think that addresses all the comments that I heard. Happy to stand for additional questions.
Okay. Questions?
No, sir.
They'll make you get back up here in a minute, probably.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Paul, can I ask you a question? I don't know that I've seen much before where somebody maintains their own lift station. That seems problematic, maybe only in my head, but does that sound like a concern to you? Or
I don't know the problem with the
I don't think that's a problem in that there are people who their job is to go in. They're the licensed operators, and they hire them, and they take care of them.
Okay. Thank you. I think he's done talking now.
We'll make him talk again.
Okay.
No, no problem.
Thank you for everyone's efforts on that.
I actually have a follow-up with that.
Yes, go ahead.
So how would it work then? Once they're done, they'll construct, design, maintain it. Does it get turned over to an HOA, or do they, once they're done and wrapped up and it's all built, who oversees it for the long term?
The HOA would manage it, and they would have a licensed operator that they would hire that would take care of it. I believe there are some little ones like this floating around town.
But the HOA could also have the opportunity to turn it over to the city. Is that an option? It might be a little complicated for an HOA. I don't know.
No, they actually set up their own little cities within our city, and typically they do quite well.
Not my HOA.
Pardon me?
Not my HOA.
Oh, okay. Normally they should do fairly well with it, and if they don't, I guess we could take it, but it's these little ones are really troublesome for us, and it's a lot of fiddly stuff, so we'd rather not take it if we can get away with it.
Follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, I remember we were at a meeting, and I was under the impression that the Memory Ranch zone had no more hookups available.
I'm assuming that we worked that out before they sent the comments, and so we have some room, and apparently this is within that limit.
But you're okay with it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
My question, I guess, would be for Troy. When, if you know, when was the zone changed to R8? The neighbors were saying they thought it was R6. The presenter said, no, it's been R8. Do we know when that actual change happened? I don't remember it.
So as soon as it was brought up, I actually started looking into it. That's an excellent question. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street. So Mr. Mayor, Councilmember McPherson, this property actually annexed into the city in 2019, in August of 2019, and it went from RR, rural residential, in the county directly to R8 at the time of annexation.
Thank you.
Troy, I have another question for you. I'm sorry.
No, you can.
The speed bump concern on Butterfly, is that a developer? Can they arbitrarily just put that in?
I wish ACHD were here to say this, but since they're not, I will tell you, ACHD does not allow for speed bumps.
ACHD is.
Oh, are they? I'm sorry. Then ACHD can say that.
He's in the far left.
Butterfly will be a new segment of a mid-mile collector So that is intended to funnel traffic in and out of subdivisions and onto and off of arterials like 10 Mile.
Or if you want to, you can step up.
Lock and load.
You must have wanted to, or you wouldn't have came.
Perfect opportunity.
Sorry. Do I need to say my address?
Just name and address, yeah.
Edison Bautista, 3775 Adams Street, Garden City. As part of the staff report, we included a section of traffic calming. So typically when these type of roads are then submitted to ACHD, those are further evaluated for traffic calming at that point. So in the staff report, it details that Butterfly would for traffic calming would need further information from the applicant at that point when it's submitted again for review.
Okay.
One question before you go. Is there any thought to stop ACHD, stop the continuation roads that go from one subdivision that's been built into another subdivision that's going to be built?
Mayor Sear, Council Member Laraway, that's a great question. So as part of all applications, when the local roads are proposed and how the configuration goes, it's evaluated at that point. It's determined if a road is stopped or not. I think it's a coordination between the applicant and the city as well to see which roads are extending in the future. Like, for example, with the memory, done away memory, and memory that was as originally approved through that subdivision that was intended. It was stopped for the intention of extending in the future. So I think it's a coordination that needs to happen at the application level. Whenever those kind of decisions are made, I think.
Because I've been involved in a couple of these, and it always seems to come up that when one subdivision is established and there, some of the complaints are going to be traffic transitioning from the new subdivision into the older subdivision when it doesn't really need to. I mean, they have an entrance, an egress off of 10 Mile right there.
Some of those local roadways are already there, and that's probably the intent of them being stopped. And I guess if the we want to make sure there's some internal connectivity within a lot of those neighborhoods, I guess, that would allow like walking, biking, all those elements too. So probably that's one of the reasons. I would say like it's mostly a coordination at early stages, especially when this subdivision came into play, that was the intent of, and was approved with that condition of being extended in the future.
Thank you for your answer.
And then there also has to be more than one way in and out. So if they didn't have the roadway going through the old subdivision, there would actually have to be two entrances off of 10 Mile. You do require an extra access, right? So. Thank you.
Actually, I have a question for Doug, if I may.
Yes.
The R8 zoning that they're discussing, is there anything else around that area that's all R8? Has it been zoned R8 and you have, you know, R6 everywhere else around it?
So that property was zoned R, like Troy said, Doug, for the record, Doug Hanson, Community Planning and Zoning. That was annexed into city limits on August 20th, 2019 in accordance with the future land use map. R8 can be is split between medium to high density residential. So the future land use map that was approved in 2019 as well, the Envision CUNA comp plan designated that property for that zone to comply with the future land use map. As far as the zones around it, yes, to the north is R6. South of that is county. And then I'm not familiar with what the zoning is across the street off the top of my head.
RR.
RR.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty.
Well, there's really no.
Not much, yeah.
Yeah.
Way to the west.
Well, Mr. Bruce is writing a novel. Anything else from you, John?
No, I was just the lift station thing, that I think that's probably something we should look at just in general, you know, having other people control multiple ones. So that's all. I was just making notes, but I don't have anything for any of those folks.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anything else, John?
No, sir. Okay. Then I'll just say that R6 is making me nervous because of how close the houses are together, so R8 makes me more nervous. But that's just the old fire guy in me. So, not that it's out of compliance or anything like that, but.
Okay, no other questions for staff? Or?
No, sir, no. Okay. Not for me.
Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Well, I guess I'll start with, I guess that's not something I, this project was something I would envisioned where it is. Overall, it doesn't appear, you know, horrific, I guess I would say, but I'm kind of side with the mayor on the R8s, you know, a lot of roofs really close, but compliance-wise, it fits everything, so... We have to look at that. It does provide a different blend of types of housing that, you know, people say, oh, no one wants to live in that, but you look around, they're all full. So I guess the opportunity's there for somebody if we allow this. But.
With the exception of the R8 thing, I think this is one of the more proactive developers, especially, you know, with what they're doing with the school district that I've ever seen.
And it's the same thing I have as the R8. You know, I like the conformity of R6, but they have partnered with the school district. The lift station thing does kind of make me nervous. I think the city should maintain most of that stuff, but that's another, I think that's something that more general that we should discuss if there's multiple ones like that ran by HOAs.
Great point.
Are these going to be rentals? I didn't hear that.
I did not hear that. I don't know. I mean, in any subdivision, you have a ton of rentals. Half my street is, so, you know.
From the comments, it says they're for sale units, not rentals. P&Z.
That's the public.
For sale.
P&Z. Okay. Mm-hmm. Commission meeting.
Well. No other comment?
No. I think the lift station will offset the, you know, the sewer that we talk about up there where Memory Ranch is. That's one thing that you mentioned. But R8.
Okay. Well, if there's no other information, let's see. This is 22-7S. Okay, if there's nothing else, then I would move we approve 22-07S with the conditions listed in the packet.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Motion to approve with the conditions listed in the packet.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any further discussion?
No, I think, honestly, I'd like to see an R6, personally. You know, if it's going to stay that direction, 10 mile already, we've got multiple apartment complexes, things like that. So I'll be voting no, but I just want to at least let you know why.
Okay. Anything further? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Mayor, there's a split vote. Can I take a roll call, please?
Okay. Yes, please.
Councilmember Bruce?
No.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
No.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor, there's a tie vote. Is there an interest in a motion for further information or to other questions that could be asked?
Is there a subsequent motion that could be made to fix everyone's concern?
John, what are yours?
Well, my reasoning is just a little different from yours. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm on the same thought. But I also have a belief that properties should flow. And what something like this to me brings is the next property that's developed next to it could have the same thing, and it just gets bigger. That's just my concern. I mean, there's nothing to prevent another 50 acres of townhouses. It doesn't flow for me. And that's just my opinion.
Mayor, if I may, I wanted to offer some comment.
Sure.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So something, a little concern I'm having is, this was, from what I've heard in testimony, this was annexed in 2019, approved for R8 zoning at the time. Zoning is not before the council today, and it was zoned in compliance with the future land use map. And so we're in a situation where this person complied with the city's long-term planning, has come forward with a plat that, from my understanding, complies. And so to say, well, I wish it was an R6, even though they've obtain zoning as we future plan for and long-term plan for. It causes me concern for that being a basis to deny an application. And so this is kind of the collision of long-term planning that happened years ago versus now an application. And it's like now we're in an application where, like, gosh, we wish we would have long-term planned differently. But we planned, we put this as what the city, the direction the city was intending to go, and it sounds like the applicant is presenting an application consistent with that plan. So I think that's something we need to be aware of as we consider this.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't elected in, at that time frame, so I mean, I wouldn't have, I would have worried about it being R8 with everything that we have anyway. But I think, are you saying that that we really so I didn't, did we deny it yet, or are you just saying we can't deny it?
No, I'm asking if there is a subsequent motion that would please council.
Yeah. We could send it back for R6, but I don't know how you guys would feel.
I don't think we can do that.
Can we take, what are our options, Mr. Bybee?
If you're going to, if there's going to be denial and the basis of the denial, I think would need to be articulated, I would advise against the basis I've heard that the density is inconsistent with what we want based on it. Sounds like it matches the planning the city has put forth and it matches the exact zone that this is right now. And so there would need to be different reasons articulated for denial than those reasons.
Those reasons being R6 or those reasons being architectural choice?
Well, architectural choice is now we're going to design review, and this will, my understanding, these townhouses that are part of this will need to go through a design review process. And so there's still architectural choice things to be decided. But when we talk about zoning, there's certain densities that are going to be allowed here. And my understanding, I did get up here after Troy's testimony, so he might need to fill in, but my understanding is what they've proposed as far as densities and lot designs are consistent with what R8 requires. An R8 zone, which this is what this is.
Gotcha. I do not have another motion to change it.
Well, he says that we can't. I don't.
Well, I don't think he's saying we can't. I just, the reasons that we're given aren't, doesn't have a good foundation. So, therefore, I change my vote. I don't have a reason to deny it.
Mayor, may I take another roll call, please?
We were elected to represent, to make these choices. And for him, you know, for this to say, well, it was done before you were here, and you have no way to deny it, that actually rubs me the wrong way. You know, because we were elected by the people to look out for them, the communities here talking about it. And, I mean, I get what he's saying as well, but we owe it to our constituents to do what they put us here to do. And so I don't know how that works. I won't change my vote, but it just feels like, why are we here if we can't make those decisions?
Well, so decisions were made before you were elected.
Right.
Agreeably.
Yeah.
But areas were set in the future land use map and this and that, like we're going to, you know, we think this area would be a good fit for R8, R6 here, R4 there. So that's what they're saying, is it came forward as that designation. Now said developer, applicant, whoever's bringing this project forward that complies with everything we thought was best at that time. We don't have the basis to go back and say, ha, just kidding, that wasn't me, that was another council. We want to change that. We can't do that at this point in the game without a lot of work.
I mean,
I guess this is why it's important that when this type of zoning stuff comes before us, we have future vision to understand that stuff.
I would say we need to take a good look at the future land use map, if that's going to be a problem in the future of what was decided earlier as to what we agree upon today.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, although we did take an oath to uphold everybody's rights, not just
Right, I get
not
it.
Just some. So, I really think we need to take a look at the future land use map, look closely at that, and see if there's stuff in there that's bothersome, and make the change there. So that we have a leg to stand on, so you're not just sitting up here doing stuff because you have to.
I understand.
Was Memory Ranch, my memory fails me, but was Memory Ranch there when the zoning came up in 2019?
Yeah, Memory Ranch would have been one of the very first subdivisions after the downturn in the economy turned around.
That's what I was thinking. Was there an opposition to this at that point?
I tried to look it up. I couldn't find any.
Didn't see it.
Any.
It's moved now, though.
Mr. Mayor, if I may comment. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff. A reason a number of these people may not have seen or received notice of this happening is because when that annexation in 2019 came forward, since they're on the southern half of Memory Ranch, it's likely that they're in phase 4 and 5 and those homes weren't actually platted or there. The noticing requirements for these public hearings is 300 feet in every direction around a parcel. So it's likely these homes did not have addresses at that time or they were not platted, so they did not receive notice for when that annexation occurred.
I think we're good. It's done right. John, change his vote.
I'm sorry?
You change your vote?
I have to.
Okay, we're good.
I understand where the legal's coming from.
Okay.
And I don't have a leg to stand on based on just my opinion of design.
All right. Then with all of that said, does the original motion still
stands?
And the second?
Sir.
Do you want to do a roll call again?
Councilmember Bruce?
No.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to case number 2208-AN, 5625 Barker Road, Jessica Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Star Acres property requests approval to annex approximately 65.5 acres. Located at 5625 West Barker Road, into CUNA city limits with an M1 light industrial manufacturing zone. The subject site is contiguous with current city limits, known as the East CUNA Industrial Area, which was annexed in October 19th, 2021. This property lies immediately east of that. Currently, there is no development associated with the application. However, the applicant intends to come forward with a development application in the future. Upon review, staff has determined the annexation request to be within technical compliance with Idaho Code 50-222, Title 5 of CUNA City Code, and the goals and policies set forth in CUNA's comprehensive plan. And staff would recommend that if the council approve case number 22-08-AN, the applicant be subject to the conditions listed in section 10 of staff's report. I will answer any questions you have.
Okay, questions for Jessica.
Jessica, does this lie fully within the Urban Renewal District, Eastern Urban Renewal District?
I'm going to defer to Ms. Morgan Treasure, our Economic Development Director, who spearheaded that entire URA, to be definitive.
This property actually lies just outside of the URA boundary, so it includes the road section up to center line, because at the time this property was in the county and we did not consider any property within the county for the Urban Renewal District.
So is the southern terminus of the Urban Renewal, is it Barker Road? Is that the southern terminus, and then this would be on the other side?
So the boundary for the URA on this side would actually be the eastern boundary. So this just sits just outside. If you look at the vicinity map on the staff report, the subject parcel is the one that's red.
Oh, yep, okay. Oh, yep, great, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, any further questions?
Not yet.
All right, thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify who did not get a chance to sign in yet? Okay. Jessica, would you mind? I don't know, we need a clipboard or something.
I know.
Need a pen.
Jessica.
Oh, look at that.
Or a digital one that just shows up here. Yes.
Hopefully it works.
I haven't let the applicant come up yet.
Yeah, I want to make sure.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't mean to try to get ahead of you.
No, you're okay.
Thank you. All right. If the applicant would like to present.
And then I provided presentation as well. Just two PDFs.
Yeah, so if you hit the bookmark section on the left, top left corner, the three lines next to the four, your presentation will be bookmarked in there. No, no. They have to put the title, I'm sorry. So the link under item B.
Link under item B.
On the agenda.
Oh, on the agenda. Yeah. Okay.
And then.
And so if you have any stories to tell while we're waiting.
I know, right? I'm holding all my time waiting for this to load. I hope anybody's interested. The JV's beating Middleton right now in basketball.
All right.
I think it'll pop up. Billy Edwards, 706 South Willis Avenue, Cuna, Idaho. I'm representing Star Acre Properties and Brian Frost, owner of said parcel that Jessica was referring to. Like she stated in her report, at this time, we are looking at just annexation only of the parcel at Barker. It's approximately 65 acres. It's a continuous to property that is already annexed into the city of Cuna. It is outside the urban renewal district. We are aware of that. Once this pops up, I'd like to show, I've got the I got our property labeled on the approved future land use map. Future land use map does call this industrial M1 use, which the applicant is agreeing to. We're also agreeing with all parameters set forth in the staff report as well. At this time, it's just annexation is what we're looking for. It's a kind of a part of the process to allow marketability of the parcel at a later date and time. If granted annexation, we will present in front of you preliminary plat design review of the parcel, which would give us a little bit further information as well.
We are also in agreement with all of the comments presented in the ACHD report as well, at which point in time, once land is developed, we will comply with all ACHD standards with road upgrades, whatever is required for us at that point in time. So as we can see upon, this is your future land use map. We are down here in the bottom right-hand corner, which as you can see, it does fall within your designated industrial use. To give you a little bit of a blown up version of this area. Another thing I'd like to note is all the properties that are shaded are within the city of Cuna and already annexed. Properties that are labeled like the Beef Packer Plant and Darling is actually Ada County properties, not annexed into the city of Cuna. Like I said, we're here. We work with we've worked with the city before. We like working with the city of Cuna. We've done projects here. We feel this industrial use is a need in this area, and we're here to comply. We probably can all agree City of Cuna's guidelines are stricter than Ada County. We're choosing to be in the City of Cuna. We want to be annexed into the City of Cuna. There are the benefits when utilities are present, which we do plan on extending, attaching, how needed at that point in time. So I will stand for any questions you might have.
Okay, questions?
I have none.
No, sir.
And you're just looking at marketability right now. You don't have any.
Exactly. This is step one in a multi-step process, just with how the valley is, annexation, marketability, so we can figure out who is interested, who we can bring in. That way we can bring a quality product also to the city, something that's also detailed and defined in lieu of coming in here multiple times on, now we want this many lots or that many lots. Annexation only is what we're looking for at this time. We will come in at a later date and time when we know more for preliminary plat and design review.
Good. Anything further?
No.
Okay, no, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, and let's see, Brian Frost, we just did that. Oliver Miller? You would just step to the microphone and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name's Elver Miller. I live at 16900 South Curtis, Cuna, Idaho. I'm about 300 yards to the north of that piece of property. And one, I would never know about this except for my neighbor who happens to be adjacent within the 300-foot rule. That 300-foot rule needs to go away because it affects people 2, 3, 4, 5 miles down the road, anything that goes on with these. I've lived out there for 22 years. I've spent the money, the time to drive to be out of the city. I don't want my kid raised in the city. All you guys think of is blacktop concrete buildings, which isn't good for the environment. Green grass, trees, corn, crops, all these plants, they take up carbon monoxide, which is what we produce. And what do they give off? They give oxygen off. What do we need to survive? We need oxygen. We need food. This land has been farmed before. It's got an irrigation well on it. And that's one thing. My well and Barker's well is probably the oldest wells that are out there in that neighborhood. And mine's been established for almost 100 years. And when Simplot went in, it affected my well. Cost us 3 well pumps because of the cinders that were drilling and everything else. My neighbor Brian Story, who'd like to be here tonight, but he can't because of a surgery he had, he's now having problems right now with his well, having brown water come up in it because of your great development that you got going on right now out there. And everybody seems to think that it'll never run out, I guess. But we don't need more industry. I happen to work construction, and I ain't freaking happy about it. And I see how a lot of this garbage getting built. A three-year project being built in 16 months. And we have so many jobs out there, they can't get filled. We got companies that are offering bonuses, hiring. The states had hiring bonuses. Cities have had hiring bonuses. Simplot out there has hiring bonuses. Dairy, cheese factory out there, they have hiring bonuses. We don't need any more industry. We got so many people out there looking for help. We don't need to keep creating more stuff. And then what's going to come with that? It's going to come noise pollution for me and everything else that's going to come with industry. And I have done my best for 22 years to avoid this stuff. It's cost me thousands upon thousands and thousands of dollars in fuel to stay away. I raise horses. I have horses out there. I had as many as 45 at one time. And it looks like I don't get to speak no more, so.
We can finish up if you need.
But, I mean, my well's not just a residential well. I have the rights to water 100 head of animals. And then you're going to endanger that. So that endangers my future, my kids' future. So, no, I'm not for any more industry or anything else being built out there, period.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Adrian Berger.
My name's Adrian Barker. I own the property adjoining that property, which is at 5005 West Parker Road. I'm here to ask you to deny the annexation because that well on that property does have a direct impact on my well. I got maps here to show where there are three wells in the circle that is, they're all within like a little over 200 feet. One well, you know, my well and the irrigation well on their property is like 200 feet apart. When that well is started, it draws down the water table to my well. And I have a blow up to show a more approximate of the wells. I also have the well log for my well, which shows it was drilled to 190 feet. I mean, not 190, but 390 depth. Then the irrigation well on their property, which they want to use for their development, it was drilled to 435 feet. That well has been perforated from the 390 feet that my well is at down to that full depth of the well. So it draws a huge area of water right there. When that well was first started for irrigation, I went to get a glass of water and it was spitting out as much air as it did water. And I asked my dad, what's with the well today? And he says, well, they started Stringer's irrigation well. So I also have the drill report for the other well, which is on the other property here where the home is. It also shows that it is at a deep level, which it draws to, so. And there's another well a mile down the road, which is probably at the same level as mine, which was Leon Jerome's well. So I don't know how it would affect that one, but I'm here to say it has a direct effect on my well.
Okay.
And you're welcome to all this if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, if you want to hand it to the clerk there, we appreciate that. Jennifer, did you want to?
Yes, I do want to.
Okay, yes.
Mayor and councilmen, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jennifer Barker. I'm the wife of Adrian Barker. We own the property adjacent to the property trying to be annexed at 5005 West Barker Road, CUNA. We would urge you not to be in favor of this annexation. Our family, Adrian's grandparents, bought that property in the 1930s, and it has been handed down three generations already. The street is, in fact, named after our family. We have owned and enjoyed this land since before there were more than one paved road in Boise, when Barker Road wasn't even a rural route, or even before there were party phone lines. Back when the old penitentiary was the penitentiary. For almost 100 years, we have been established out there. It is on the outskirts of the birds of prey area, so we have the privilege of seeing the red-tailed hawks, the golden eagles, bald eagles, owls, and all sorts of birds of prey that perch in our trees. They are fewer since the cattle plant went in down the road, but we still get to see them. In fact, not too long ago, I took a picture of a red-tailed hawk perched on the very electric pole on the property next door that wants the annexation. The impact not only on the wildlife out there will not be only on the wildlife out there, but the families who own the places out there will be devastated. We will no longer get to see those wonderful creatures we ourselves are feeling like we are being pushed out. Not only would putting an industrial complex next door, which by the way is not only between two family home properties, but across the street from two more. We enjoy being able to go outside the front door and having an incredible view of the night sky and of the sunrises and sunsets. The light pollution generated by an industrial complex next door would completely stop all that, not to mention the buildings that would block those views for us as well. The quiet out there is why the families are out there, stay out there. The new noise pollution generated from that would be a detrimental to the rural families that live out there by setting that smack in the middle of family homes, not to mention the vector raptor and insect problems that are going to increase. We already have a healthy fly population out there from Darling, the rendering plant, which is way down the road from us, and made worse by the Simplot cattle operation down the street. No one cared about informing us that live out there about the evap ponds being built not even a quarter mile from our houses for the runoff for the cooling of the machines at the Meta Data Center. Mosquito population that will explode from that will be healthy for any of our animals or outside ourselves to go outside, and the West Nile virus, and get the West Nile virus from that, so we sure don't want it next door. We have seen what industrial properties do to the raptor population out there, who wants a bunch of seagulls flying overhead all the time, crapping on all your stuff. We sure as hell don't. And the vector problem will become worse when there becomes food available, and not to mention what's going to happen when all the property is torn up and they move from that property to our properties. It's hard to keep the ground squirrels, gophers, and badgers at bay as it is. They pull from the well. They will be pulling from the well that we have to maintain. The pull from the well that will have to maintain that complex will but all but collapse our well and run it dry. And yes, it is on the same water table as ours that is not even more than a couple hundred feet away. It's going to suck all the wells in there in that immediate area. The increasing drought is already putting wells in danger. We were just informed a few months ago that the CUNA city limits had been changed clear to Curtis Road. There are plenty of properties closer to the original city limits that are more suited for a project like this one being proposed. We live out there because we don't want to live in town and deal with the hustle and bustle of city living. The amount of traffic that would be down our street would be horrible to those of us who live there, not to mention the air pollution a place like that would put off. I myself suffer from asthma and many allergies. For many years, we have been the Pleasant Valley community, not the city of CUNA. We realize that Idaho is growing, but with all the other opportunities for other properties closer to town, we don't feel that this is really the kind of place for this project. We ask that when we ask what kind of industrial was going in out there, we are given no answers, just a, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, but that isn't an answer. Surely they have an idea of what they want to go in out there before they put all that money into an unknown project. The smell created by Darling and the cattle plant down the street make going outside unbearable at times when the wind is blowing from the west. So what's it going to be like with something just as terrible next door? Ask yourself this question. Why is someone who has owned that property less than 5 years even allowed to dictate to everyone who lives out there how their lives are going to be lived just so he can make a buck when we at least have been there for almost 100 years? This is all too much to ask of the people who live out there away from the city centers, and only informing people who live within 300 feet is not right, by the way. Construction out there infects the entire Pleasant Valley community. Therefore, we would humbly ask that you decline this annexation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and that's all I had signed up to testify. Was there anyone else who wished to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. What's that?
I believe I'm signed in.
Brian Frost?
Please. Yes. Brian Frost with Star Acres Property, 10400 Overland Road, Boise, Idaho. Let's try to take all this in pieces. One, all we're asking for right now is the annexation, and for our we'll come back with our ideas of what we're going to do. But back to the water. The water I could be farming, well, the water's mine, it's my well. I could be farming it for the corn, or I could be using it for industrial. But what I'm saying is, as asking for permission for the annexation, I would be forgiving that water and I'd be hooking into the water system as it comes to my property. Asking for annexation is going to be, from the city, is going to have more scrutiny than if I did stay in the county and decide to develop under the county's regulations. So those are the two main questions I try to answer, or any complaints. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then, yeah.
Billy Edwards, 706 South Willis Avenue. The neighbors in the area did present some things at the commission public hearing regarding wells. So we actually did a little bit of research ourselves. Based on what we were able to locate, we performed some research on the Idaho Department of Water Resources website and found a mapping software which reflects critical groundwater areas and areas of groundwater concern. Wells within the area, which include the well type and depth, we have a map of it as well. Per that website, it appears there's three wells approximately and within 1 mile, 1.25 miles away. I'm not saying that there isn't all these wells out there. They could have been dug, like the resident said, 100 years ago. Department of Water Resources might not have that. Kind of the point of the research was this owner has a well as well. Currently, he is farming this land as well. We want to be aware of how much water we actually have. And the fear of industrial out of the well, we all know once annexation happens and city services are at the site, we're required to tie into them, which we forfeit our water rights to the city of CUNA in order to tie into their water, domestic water system, which in turn would feed this industrial park at the time utilities are present at that location. Another item regarding the birds of prey, again, that was another concern at our commission meeting. So again, did a little bit of research as well. The Birds of Prey National Conservation Area map, as provided by the Bureau of Land Management, per their ArcGIS mapping software, the subject property Our property is 1.5 miles south of Cunamora Road, with the Birds of Prey National Conservation Area beginning approximately 5 to 8 miles south of Cunamora Road. By no means am I saying that we're not affecting or could affect something out there. What I'm saying is we are out of the Bureau of Land Management's designated areas for bird of prey. Again, it's annexation only. We're going to be right back in front of you at a later date and time to go over further detail. I know there's concerns about, well, you didn't tell us what is being on the property. What I can tell you is it's M1 use per the city code and will comply with the land use chart that's M1 that's approved by the city of CUNA. I am not one to stand up here and tell you it's going to be XYZ and come in 6 months and say it's ABC. This is the first step in a multi-step process. We will be back in front of you again with more detailed information upon having that detailed information. And I'll stand for any other questions you might have.
Okay. Thank questions. You. Thank you. Well, I think we've seen historically that if we don't annex, then the county allows it to happen. And like the applicant said, if the county does it, they don't supply water. And we do. So they're required to tie into our water systems. Also, wastewater, we require that they tie into that system also. So you don't have all the drain fields and things like that from wastewater. He did mention that we are more stringent on our requirements, and I think we certainly are. So my guess would be whether we annex or not, something's still going to happen out there because of private property rights. And I guess that just leaves it up to which direction you go.
I have some questions, if that's okay.
Yes.
Now, are we still in the public hearing, or do we
yes,
need to do
it? Yes, we are.
So it says on here that the Public Works supports the annexation, provided the alternative to sewer and water issues. Are they going to be looking at, will House Bill 46 have it, if that does pass, do you think, and this is for Morgan, will that change anything that Meta's going to build out there? And if it does, because I'm assuming they're going to hook into the sewer that they're building, correct? Is that the plan?
So you're asking me to do the magic crystal ball trick, which I always hate doing in this kind of situation. So here's what I'll say. First of all, House Bill 46 and Meta's commitment to building infrastructure have nothing to do with each other. Meta has to build what they've promised us to build no matter what happens with House Bill 46. House Bill 46 mostly dictates what would happen on future expansion, but that would be for property within the urban renewal district, and this just sits outside the urban renewal district, so that is less of a concern actually on this property.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No. Actually, I do have a question. Where, and I'm not sure who to ask this to, looking at, they had a map up with their red highlighted property boundary. In relation to that, how far away is the treatment plant going to be and available water, or is it?
On the other side of the fence? You talking about the meadow fence and the meadow treatment plant?
Yes, Morgan.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, Councilman McPherson, Morgan Treasurer, Economic Development Director. The water treatment and wastewater treatment operations building is at the corner of Cunamora and Curtis, approximately a mile north. This property actually sits, I don't know if you can recall off the top of your head kind of how the maps go. It's a kind of a narrow linear shape. So this parcel sits directly across the street from the evaporation ponds and the land app area for the wastewater treatment, if you're looking at the concept map. If it would be helpful to answer the question, I can pop up on the city website an overlay map that shows that. Do you want me to put that up on the screen? He has a map.
Yeah, that's the map I was looking at. It'd be at page 90. It's clear at the end.
Sewer facility is going to be right here, right? Somewhere along here.
I think it's to the right.
Yeah, and then so this stuff is reuse.
So they're going to have to go here. But again, I don't know if they're going to be able to line of sight or if they have to follow a plan Paul has. I don't know.
Well, I don't know that there's really anything planned for that right now. They haven't even got the facility built yet.
It's on page 90. Hey, Greg, it's on page 90.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I just want to have them clarify for sure.
Here, I can get up and steer and Vanna White it for you if you want me to.
Would that be
helpful?
Yeah. I mean, we should make Paul do it, though.
You can't unsee that once it happens.
There it goes. I have that problem with automatic doors, too. So the water operations building and wastewater treatment, the office building is here, and the evaporation ponds and land application area are in approximately this area. Where's this?
Grove.
I know where a Way Better map is. Hold on a second. It's on our website.
This is, sorry, Mark Bybee, city attorney. Since a different map's going to be referred to that I think is not in the packet, I think it's just important that whatever Morgan is reviewing, that it become part of the hearing packet today for a matter of the record. So should be provided to the city clerk following the conclusion of the hearing.
Yes, I'll redirect back. I can see Councilman McPherson's wheels turning. Internet is very slow today.
Do not call IT.
I just got my email back. Why would I do such a thing?
That's what I'm saying. Don't call them.
Is that, I don't have that many good stories. Yeah, I know. Like, come on, load. It will just really answer the question.
We really need a popcorn machine in here.
This is a giant document. That's why it's taking so long.
You have somebody order pizza?
Yeah. Okay, here is the map that shows where everything sits in relationship to the subject property. So, whoa, that mouse is touchy. Here are well sites, the water operations building, and then the evaporation ponds and land application area for the wastewater treatment. And the subject parcel is this one right here. So it's right across the street from that, the evaporation ponds in the beginning of the land application area.
Are they loop lines already? You're still going to have to run a line up to the plant
from so that property? There would be... down, that's, there's construction down Curtis right now. Connections at this point, that's going to be a Paul question because I don't know where they're at in design, but.
I guess it's hard to say since they haven't built it yet. I mean, they're still working on what they're doing and what they're not.
Yes.
It's my understanding this is in a little bit of a state of flux in that they're modifying their building, so they stopped working on this piece while they decided what the actual size of it would be. So I don't have a clue how they're going to connect. They will, I'm sure, as a way to do it, but it hasn't been worked out yet. So that's, I wouldn't want to tell you something that,
right,
that I can't back up. So they did stop working on it because they're changing some stuff. Also, the cluster of wells up there at the top goes away, and there will only be four. So then they'll be spaced out, and they're not, while they will be new wells, they're just taking the water rights from existing wells and moving them over to these other points of diversion. So it's well thought out. It shouldn't impact the water table any more than it's being impacted at the moment.
Okay. Did that get you where you needed to go?
Sort of, yeah.
Or you could repeat your question. I could try again.
That was so long ago, I forgot my question.
To get across there.
Okay. I have nothing further.
Further questions? Will the public hearings open?
No, sir.
Okay, then. I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
So Paul said something that's struck with me, water table impact at the moment. I'm concerned about the water table as we move along that greater area. When with Meta's impact, obviously, is going to be pretty huge. Sensitive to the concerns of the folks in opposition tonight with their wells. Really can't do a whole lot about the birds of prey, but I would have those same concerns about the water table because if I remember the return on the return to the aquifer, the trade-off was around 2030 for Meta. If I remember the
article. I think that's what it said.
Yeah, I think it was the article. So between now and then.
No. What is it?
It was painful.
Miss Morgan can help you there.
Are you wanting to open the public hearing again then? Or?
I thought I read an article. Question. I can Google what they said, but
I think my problem is the annexation, right? Once we annex it, and we've been through that for years now, then it's just checking boxes from there out. And I think that holds true with any annexation that we have. I do understand what you're saying, that if we don't annex it, it may end up being a county thing. But there's no future plan for it. I think maybe if they brought it back, once they have a plan and an annexation, then we can look at it more and have more control over it. But once we annex it into the city, I think our hands are tied. At least from what we've dealt with for the last couple of years, that's what has been told to us. completely understand some of their concerns.
And I have to apply logic. I'm assuming that if we allow them to annex in, we will end up providing water and sewage to that property. If the county lets them in, they're going to have to drill their own well deeper and provide their own services. Logic?
Yeah.
Yeah, generally the county doesn't provide wastewater or water. Yeah.
Correct. So they're going to have to search for it themselves, and the restriction of how deep they go for water is going to be up to the county. That might affect the landowners in the area more. I'm sure a lot of these landowners have water rights dating back many years to where they're somewhat protected, but we don't know how much water Mint is going to pull up.
Yes. So I did find the article where it was, they quoted Meta spokesperson Melanie Rowe saying that their goal is to be water positive by the year 2030.
They're going to what?
Their goal is to be water positive by the year 2030. Putting back in just as much as they're taking.
2030.
3-7 years.
And I know a lot of us took a meeting with the Meta facility, not knowing what was going to go out there. And then all of a sudden we got surprised. I don't know if it's surprised, but we were told what was going out there. And that's when everybody thought we had been planning this for a year. We have the same thing now. We don't know what's going there.
Right.
We have to assume it's light industry. We have to. There's a lot of assumptions, but we're back in the same boat. Probably a little wiser, but back in the same boat.
I think that that's something that can occur anyway, because you build exactly. Yeah, they don't necessarily announce who's coming when they're building something. It's a competition deal, and
don't blame you.
And we don't get to.
Mark, yes. From Mark Bybee, city attorney, just a little bit of legal information on the decision making. I wanted to point out that this is quite different than some of the other applications we've decided, just because this is not what would be called a quasi-judicial application. Most land use applications are. This is considered a legislative act when a city decides to annex. It has a quasi-judicial component because with it includes, if you make that first legislative decision to annex, then you make a quasi-judicial determination about the zoning designation. So there's kind of a two-part here. But you don't ever get to that quasi-judicial if you don't make the legislative decision first to annex, if that makes sense. And that's significant in the decision-making process because Councilmember Bruce touched on it some. There's discretion associated with legislative acts that's different than with, especially the further you get down to like platting and those points, the decision-making discretion you have shifts. So just wanted to offer that clarification.
I think you might have agreed with me.
Trying to quote that with some legal perspective. No, I'm sorry, we closed the public hearing part.
Where's the city going to get the water?
Sir, the public hearing's closed.
Thank you.
the ultimate rock and a hard spot here, because you have a landowner that wants to do something with their property, but yet it greatly potentially could affect neighbors, you know, whatever. And I think the water's the biggest issue here. I don't think so much the sewer is, because that's just down the road, and, you know, we could probably, well, the sewage has to go that way. We know that. But the water, where, you know, one new thing can impact, what was it, three generations, four generations of family at one place, and other neighbors, you know, from a distance out. So it's a hard.
And once we annex it, then we're just, our discretion's kind of gone, you know?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's not just gone, but it is a tough road to control it at that point, yes.
Just like in the previous public hearing.
I would say it's almost gone, because anything that's been annexed that we've seen in the last year and a half that I've been here, no changes have been made once. It's just checking boxes. So I wouldn't say that it's a little bit of oversight. I think it's, from my opinion, it's more than just that.
I still fall back on logic that if we don't, I'm not saying I'm going to, I'm saying if we don't, they go to the county, we don't have any control. Zero.
Right.
If we annex them, they're going to be required to hook up to our water and our sewer, somewhat controlled. They won't be digging wells. I know there's already a well there, but it's a hard spot. Yeah, you're right. It comes down to what is the best decision for the city of Cuba.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still a ways out. We could table it and come back to it. You know, and look and see what they end up. I know that he still said there's some unknowns with what the sewer and how it'll all be put together out there. It is an option.
Well, if they're annexed in the city, they got to hook into the sewer, so I don't.
Well, I'm saying, I think he said there's still some plans about what they'll do with the new designs or how it'll look. If we decide now, then we're kind of stuck with what, you know, whatever. I mean, I just look at it as the annexation part, right, with no plan. That's where I'm stuck at, is that we're committing, in my opinion.
But I don't think we'll ever get a plan. After we annex, for protection of their privacy and the business, I understand that.
That's seems ass backwards, personally.
I'm not saying I like it, but that's the business.
Is there an environmental impact study required after annexation prior to development? Is that one an environmental impact study, or is there one required at all?
It would depend on what's
coming.
What's, yeah.
Again, Mark? Mark Bybee, city attorney, just a little bit of legal information. It is, yes, there is a situation where they could come with a combined application that it would be both. They're not required to. Applicants don't have to apply in that manner. I know this council, some of the council members have for sure seen combined applications, and sometimes there are combined applications that they have everything from the initial annexation to the zoning designation to
the platting to if there's design review, all presented at once. They don't have to do that. Applicants aren't compelled to, but that procedurally is possible technically.
So they're not compelled to do it, and we can't require them to do it that way, right, is what you're saying?
No, you could make the request that they come about it that way, but you can't force them to present their applications in a combined application type. And from what I heard, it does sound like they know they want industrial, but I don't think they have a particular user in mind right now is the impression I got, and so they don't know what it would be yet.
Any more thoughts?
Well, I keep trying to do the logical thing. Some of the subject matter that we've talked about is well water and how's it going to affect. Theoretically, to me, that ship's already sailed. Once Meta started digging that well, that's where the water's going to go. This property isn't going to have that kind of effect if they are required to hook up to city systems. So I get past the well water situation because that again, Meta started that when they started digging their own well. What they draw from that, I don't know. How it affects property owners, I don't know. I don't know if this property is going to have that same situation. I mean, by the time Meta gets through with its well and sewer, this company is still, whatever is going out there, might not even be constructed yet. We don't know. A lot of unknowns. I'm just trying to do this logically so I don't try to overthink it.
So you're saying if we annex it into the city, then they'll have to hook up to our services. If not, and it gets annexed into the county or it gets taken by the county or they do it, then it's going to have a bigger impact on their water supply than with the city.
They're going to draw their own well, and the county's going to let them do it. That's going to affect the neighbors more than, I guess, Meta. I don't know. I'm not a water expert.
So it would be probably beneficial to them as the property owners to have it at the city. Is that kind of what you're thinking too?
Mm-hmm.
I keep going back reading the water table just to see the quality, and I keep thinking about that 2030 date and also some of the things I've been reading about the Dalles project where the water's been triple the amount that they had
From Google.
Yeah, yes. From the Google data center. It's triple the amount of use of what they originally estimated.
I just have a hard time.
I'm kind of sensitive to that. Even the city's going to be affected by that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if that were the case, because we're all still under the same aquifer.
Yeah. I always have just an issue of annexing it and just not knowing what. But the fact that we can't, you know, we can ask them to bring forth what it would be. I just think it's hard for us as city officials to make a decision when we don't know what's going there, but we're, at least for me.
I agree.
And I understand what John's saying. You can't do it until, you know, they don't want to spend the money, right, until it's annexed into the city.
Right.
Well, it's going to be going one way or the other.
Yeah.
Your county. The one you know versus the one you... You know what the county brings, too.
Well, we look at Spring Rock. We didn't annex that because we weren't able to provide adequate services that far out yet. And now here we are. County's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
we're still going to be stuck for providing a certain amount of service out there. So if we don't do it, it'll happen anyway. And then it will be completely out of our control. They won't be hooking into the, we're not going to allow it to hook into a city system if they're not annexed into the city. So then what do they do with the wastewater? End water is going to have to come directly off of that property unless they work a deal with somebody else. But
the county's going to let them do stuff that we're not.
Right. So in my mind, it's a much wiser move to annex where we can at least keep control of it.
Yeah. Anything further? No? Mr. Bruce?
No, sir. I've said my piece. I think, like I said, it's just hard for me to not know what, you know, have any idea what's going to go there, right? It could be, that's just, I mean, even a city official is just to make that decision with not knowing. I get it that you have to annex it before you can find someone, and it's just, for me, it just seems ass backwards.
Right.
We should know what we're approving and what we're doing, you know, rather than just a coin toss.
And again, I fall back on, even if we wanted to approve this and have them work with the neighbors on the water, they have no control over that at all. With up under Meta, we can't even attach anything that says you must monitor your neighbor's well. That's all Meta. So that, like I said, that ship has sailed. We don't control anything with the water.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be required to hook up. It'll all be under Meta.
Well but
it falls under us, technically, when it's completed.
So talking about control, though, we have an economic development director who can look to promote industry that comes in there that isn't a huge water user. So we're not going to want somebody out there that's canning stuff that's using a lot of water. Certainly not going to be of any size for a data center that's going to use a lot of cooling water. There's a place that's building out there right now. They do trusses. They don't use a lot of water. And so those things we can promote for and to help.
Can I ask a trick question? Economic development.
You can't ask her.
Here's the question. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to answer me, but you give me more confidence. Do you know what is going on out there? I don't want to know. Yes. Yes or no?
This is an application that's being brought forward for annexation.
Correct.
To make the property marketable to start the first step. So when you're going after large industrial users, the turnaround time on those applications in the past, I would say 5 years since I started really working hard on RFIs, a company coming in would expect to have a timeline from property search to being able to pull their building permit somewhere along the 18 to 24 month timeline. Now they are looking for anywhere between 6 and 12 months. And at our current development schedule, we can't get a property that is not annexed even first look because we can't meet that annexation timeline. So if the property isn't annexed with an industrial zoning, it is not really viable for a competitive project.
Right. And I get the reason I was asking if you knew what was going to be developed out there was that it'd give me more confidence that what we were doing was more positive.
Yeah.
Then letting the county have it.
Can I? I mean, I've been working with these guys and having conversations. There's no active. I'm not hunting on this one yet. We really are just looking at the property to get it teed up to go.
Okay. I didn't want to put you in a bad spot, but I wanted to kind of make myself feel more comfortable. At least somebody knows what's going on there, and it's a positive.
This one is just a tee up. So, and I can confidently say in working with this team that they're great to work with.
Okay, and I broke the rule. I'm not supposed to have open.
No, we're just.
Yeah. I think we probably just
move on.
Yeah.
Somebody's chiming in.
Mark.
So, more some legal notes, Mark Bybee, city attorney. So, some things that you could consider is like it's not a complete unknown. You do have a land use table. So, if you give it the zoning designation, which I think M1 is what was requested. You look at your land use table, and your land uses are going to be limited to what's in there, at least. That doesn't tell you exactly what use is going there, but it limits it to those in the table. Something else, this is not an application that's pending. Again, another type of application is a development agreement that is, when you do a development agreement, they need to be at the time of annexation and initial zoning. So if there is ever going to be one, now would be the time to do it. The applicant hasn't asked for that, hasn't proposed it. The fact that they don't have even idea of the use yet, I suspect they wouldn't want to negotiate a development agreement because we'd be negotiating kind of some shadows a little bit. And so then that, and I don't know that they'd be willing to make the commitments in there. It's like these are, again, are things you could suggest, and would you be willing to do this? And that could inform your decision making, but the applicant isn't bound to come forward with that now. But do know that if you don't have a development agreement today, if you were to approve it today, you wouldn't be able to do a development agreement later because those need to happen with annexation and zoning.
Thank you.
So great. If we annex it now with no development agreement, we have and no oversight. Is that kind of what he said?
Or they just do it in the county anyway.
Not all we can control is what the decisions we make here, you know, and now the county, that's the other thing, you know, that they have to deal with. But thank you for all the questions or answers. I'm ready to vote.
On what?
Whatever he's about to say.
You can make a motion. Anybody can make a motion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we deny this annexation at the time. Now, do I have to give them a path back forward?
You can, but this is not a LUPA decision, so it's not.
Because there's no.
This is the quasi-judicial versus legislative part, so if you deny the annexation, you wouldn't actually have to take action on the zoning request because you can only zone something if you annex it. Otherwise, it stays outside the city's jurisdiction. Now, path back forward.
All right, that's what, okay. Yeah, so I'll make a motion that we decline the annexation of.
AN.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
And I think that then I will – I think it's in everyone's best interest that this occur, so I'm going to vote aye or vote nay on this motion. So that motion will fail. Do we have a subsequent motion?
Mayor, I would move we approve case 22-08AN. And apply the M1 zoning to it.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
And I will vote aye. So the motion to approve 2208AN and with an M1 light industrial manufacturing zone passes. All right. item 7A was something we determined that we didn't need to do, so we'll just mark that off the agenda. Item B is a request for contingency funds to purchase a vehicle for Fleet Parks, Bobby Withrow.
Looks like we're all having trouble with the microphones tonight. For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, 270 South Orchard. I'm going to start off by, I do apologize normally with this type of stuff. I do like to have a memo available so you guys can read and know what I'm requesting ahead of time. I wasn't able to do that this time, so I apologize for that. I'm asking for contingency funds to purchase a new vehicle. A year and a half ago, we ordered one for the water department. Ordering vehicles seem to be 8-10 months out to a year and a half now. And so with the one that we ordered for water, we ordered a crane bed for it. The crane was actually too big for the one we ordered. So Kendall is making it right. They are going to give us that F550 at the same price. But we still do have the F450 there if we want to move on it. So tonight I'm asking for the funds to move on that. I was going to put it into the budget for next year, knowing we would be waiting probably a year, year and a half again. But because it's there and it's available, I thought it'd be good to ask for contingency funds now. That way we have it, and then I won't be asking for it for the upcoming budget. The amount of the truck with the bed is $70,714. With that, I stand for questions.
What was the timeline for the 550, Jesse?
Councilman McPherson, it was located in Oregon, and they were going to ship it to Meridian as soon as possible.
Thank you.
And also, if I may add to make Mark happy, we did use the piggybacking off the state bids, which we are able to do. So I wanted to make sure to say that on record to make Mark happy.
And what was the amount again?
$70,714.
Which is insanity, by the way.
I agree.
So did you say we bought a 450, but it won't we're not able to use it?
Yes.
And so we have that, or are we giving that back to them and taking the 550, or are we just going to have both?
Councilman Bruce, with approval tonight, we'll have both. So the 450 was ordered. It was too small. Kendall's making it right, bringing in a 550, so everything will work the way it's supposed to. If we don't purchase it, then it'll be on their lot so they can sell it.
But
But the need for the vehicle is there. I mean, you were going to ask for another one next year anyway.
Yes. Yeah, the need for the vehicle is there.
A lot of gears turning up here, but no one's going anywhere.
Should have gone a bunch of Red Bull before we started.
Yeah. Just trying to make sure I process everything. So this isn't necessarily replacing an old vehicle. It's just a new requirement.
Yeah, Councilman Bake, yes, this will be a new truck, which, like I said, I would have been asking for anyway. We are going to the bigger truck so we can start moving some of our bigger equipment and not having to call like Naylor towing to have it taken to the shop. We'll be able to do it ourselves.
And the impact if you don't have it this year? I mean, if you have to wait till the next fiscal year? It's just that it's sitting there now, right? It's available now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just it's available now, so I thought I'd bring it to you and ask.
Okay.
Well, if they order one in a year, yeah, then it's a year and a half before we get it again.
Yeah, I get it.
So,
and didn't we just buy the 450? Was that last year?
Last year we got a sewer truck, and that was a 5500. Yes.
I know it's a lot of money, but it's, I mean, good luck finding some. You know, I think it's, somebody will buy it, and then we'll be waiting for a year to get it.
Quick, yeah.
There's sensitive contingency funds, but if, as long as Jared, you know, says we're good, then.
Yeah, it just won't come out of next year's, is all.
Okay. Mr. Lurway, anything?
He wants it to have a CD player.
A-track.
Okay, then I would move we approve the contingency funds for the Parks Fleet vehicle for $70,714.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you for being proactive, Bobby.
Could be. All right, item C, case number 2204 LLA, lot line adjustment. Jessica.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant requests to shift the lot line between 1159 and 1221 North Jackson Mill Avenue, approximately 9 feet north. It's a little bit smaller on the west side and closer to 9 feet on the east side, the way it's platted. To center the already approved commercial buildings more squarely on their applicable parcel. Staff notes, if approved, the official height and area standards listed in CUNA City Code 533 will still be met. And Public Works has also requested that an updated map reflecting the utilities on the two parcels be provided so they can verify that the existing utilities will not be affected by the change. Upon review, staff has determined this request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code and the comprehensive plan. And staff would recommend that if this is approved, the applicant be subject to the conditions listed in Section 8 of staff's report. And I will answer any questions.
Questions for Jessica?
Nope.
Thank you.
Okay. Just pretty simple lot line deal. We do these sort of kind of all the time. Some are different, but this is a pretty easy one. So I would move we approve case 22-04 LLA.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Case number 2206-LS, Jessica.
I promise this is the last time. I like to schedule everything at once to get it all done. Hello again, and for the final time. Mayor and Council, for the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA.
Are you retiring?
Just for this evening.
You said that was the final time.
Just for the final time this evening.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Yes, sir. The applicant requests to split 7910 South Meridian Road into two parcels as to provide the Northwest Lyman College with an additional and more safe access to their campus. The southwest parcel is proposed to be approximately 11.7 acres, and the northeast parcel is proposed to be approximately 5.5 acres. There will be no zone change. The applicant and the Northwest Lyman College have been in communication with Ada County Highway District regarding future development of the driveway, which will be entered from Columbia Road just east of Meridian. And they shall also work with city staff to ensure they adhere to the applicable standards and application processes if special things are required. Upon review, staff finds a lot split request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code 516.3 and the comprehensive plan, and for the safety of the folks that are coming to and from. Therefore, staff asks that if the case 2206LS is approved, the applicant be subject to conditions listed in Section 8.
Okay. Questions for Jessica? Yes.
Questions. The acres, yes, I'm through the north, the 5 acres, they're not going to have access off of that, are they?
No, sir. It will be basically a type of landlocked parcel currently. Okay. With the way it's proposed, the poles that are on the south of the Lyman's College will basically block that, as well as the parking lot for the existing.
Yeah, because it goes up that hill, and I didn't think that would be very smart to have access out of that road.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
Nope. I would move we approve case number 22-06LS with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Next, we have a proclamation. This was prepared for me by Sulema. She's done a really good job of putting this whole thing together. We're going to have some interactive things next week on this, so it should be a lot of fun. So this proclamation is the CUNA Kindness Challenge Week. Whereas the city of CUNA recognizes the value of simple acts of kindness that are performed without prompting or reason, and how these acts can have a positive impact. And whereas the city of CUNA and Mayor Steer seek to cultivate a thoughtful, compassionate, and caring community by setting an example of understanding and acceptance for all through genuine acts of kindness. And whereas Mayor Steer's CUNA Kindness Challenge is 1 week where acts of kindness can be performed by any person in the city of CUNA, regardless of age, origin, education, gender, beliefs, lifestyle, or abilities for the good of those around them. And whereas this week is intended to encourage all of us to practice acts of kindness in our home, schools, business, and communities, now there be it resolved that I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of CUNA, Idaho, do hereby proclaim February 13th through the 17th, 2023, as Mayor Steer's CUNA Kindness Challenge Week, and encourage all parents, students, community members, residents, and visitors of CUNA, Idaho, to
to show and practice kindness in the spirit of compassion and goodwill, because kindness matters in CUNA and beyond. And they're making buttons and everything.
Yeah.
So next Friday down here, we're going to have some sheets out, kind of like bingo cards. You can access on our website, or they'll be handing those out. The library is also going to be passing some of these things out, and then sending to the school. There will be some banner things going on, and next Friday we'll come down here. I'll reread this, and people can pick up some treats and buttons for their efforts. But next week is National Kindness Week, so we're tagging on to that. Plus, last year we had our entire year where we promoted for kindness. So
definitely need more than that. More than that. You know, more of that.
Yeah. And you don't even need to vote on that. So.
Well, I approve of this message.
All right, that takes us to case number 2201-0A, ordinance amendment. Stopping, standing, or parking. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Staff is requesting consideration for an amendment to the CUNA City Code, Title 11, Chapter 2, Sections 5 and 9. KCC 1125 definitions is proposed to be amended to include a definition for the acronym GVWR, Gross Vehicle Weight Rating, which is used in other sections of this title, and a change to the definition of highway. KCC 1129, Parking of Commercial Vehicles, Recreational Vehicles, and Trailers, will be amended to reflect the parking standards for recreational vehicles and trailers established in Title 5, Chapter 5 of CUNA City Code, and to provide exceptions as to when the parking of commercial vehicles on street is appropriate. Staff would request a change on the record for the proposed amendment to KCC 11291A and 11293A to replace the wording commercial vehicle with company branded vehicle, and the addition of 11-2-93B, any commercial vehicle. And if council is in favor of those changes, I will provide an amended and updated red line to the mayor prior to his signature. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug?
No, sir.
I would move we approve case 2201-0A with the conditions that Doug listed.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded for approval. I'm sorry, I didn't read this. This is an ordinance, a municipal ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, amending Section 5, Chapter 2, Title 11 of CUNA City Code, definitions, adding acronym GVWR, and making technical changes to the highway definition, and repealing Section 9, Chapter 2, Title 11 of CUNA City Code, and amending Title 11 by the addition of a new Section 9, Chapter 2, and providing a severability clause, and directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date. So we would need to move the three readings.
Oh, yeah. We need to do that, don't we? I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2201-0A.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Now we have the motion to approve already made, and the second stands. Was there any further discussion on approval? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Chris asked me to do summary publication as well.
Oh, I didn't see it on there, so.
I didn't either, but she told me, so I'm going to do it.
All right.
I would move we approve summary publication of case number 22-01-OA.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. All right, item G, update on the current status of the Cuna Meridian Road State Highway 69 Railroad Overpass Pell Study. Doug Hansen.
Commissioners, for the record, Mayor, Council Members, wow, my brain's not working either now. Mayor and Council Members, for the record, Doug Hansen, Cuna Planning and Zoning Staff. In 2014, the City of Cuna began the planning and analysis process for their long-held interest in enhanced crossings over the Union Pacific Railroad tracks and Indian Creek along the southern edge of the city, with goals to address safety, mobility, and accessibility for efficient movement of people, goods, and services within Cuna and the Greater Treasure Valley. 17 proposed route alternatives were identified in initial studies that could potentially accomplish community objectives. Final screening was to occur as part of a planning and environmental linkages, or Pell study, with input from the public to identify reasonable and preferred alternatives. By 2023, population growth, infrastructure development, community needs, and gathered public input have changed the dynamic for the previously proposed route alternatives, creating challenges that were not foreseeable during the 2014 study. Therefore, the project team has decided to hone in completely on the Cuna Meridian Road State Highway 69 Railroad Overpass for the Pell study. The project team has began the public involvement process in the middle of 2022. Additional public involvement is set to begin as soon as possible in 2023. Thank you.
And so that was just kind of an update on that. There's been a lot of work going into this, and of course requires cooperation from ACHD and ITD together, and I think we've done a great job of bringing that around, and they are working together with us on that. Staff's done a tremendous job of getting us this far, and we are seeing some good positive progress on this, so we could actually end up with an overpass someday. Yay.
Hot damn.
Will you and I be alive?
I'm just hopeful that I'm still alive, that I can drive over it.
Throw your ashes from it?
Yeah. Yeah, throw my ashes over the new overpass. That's what we'll do.
See, and you make those comments when the paper grill's not here. That'd be a great quote, you know? Like me doing my hair in the last one. But no, she already left.
We'll call her later.
I'm going to call her.
Yeah, the hair comment was hilarious,
yeah,
by the way.
Sydney would actually enjoy that.
I'm sure she would.
All right. That takes us to item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance 2023-06, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna making certain findings and rezoning certain real properties, to wit, Ada County parcels, as shown in Exhibit A, owned by M3ID Valor Golf Villas, LLC, TH Holdings, 2022, LLC, Clayton Properties Group, Incorporated, and American Lebanese Syrian Associated Charters, Incorporated, and amending the zoning map and directing city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date.
Okay, I would move that we waive three readings of ordinance 2023-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2023-06.
Motion's made to approve the ordinance. Any further discussion? Oh, did we have a second? I'm sorry.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Okay, Chris, under section 2.1, medium is misspelled.
I'm sorry, what?
The in all caps, medium, it's section 2.1. Just want to point it out. M-D-E-I-U-M.
On the actual ordinance itself?
Yes, ma'am.
Clean that up, Doug. That's your mess. No. Okay, thank you. We'll get that taken care of. Thank you, Councilmember Biggs, for noting that.
Medium.
That's it. Everyone loves a spell checker. Right?
That's good.
It's actually density is also the spell. It is density.
You didn't use ChatGP, apparently.
Medium and the city.
Medium, the city.
GPT.
So are you asking, then, that we misspell residential so they all match? do we need a motion for summary publication on that last ordinance?
No, sir, because it's a land matter.
Okay. Next is consideration to approve ordinance 2023-07. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and rezoning certain real properties to wit Ada County parcels as shown in Exhibit A owned by CUNA Youth Recreation Association Incorporated and amending the zoning map and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date.
I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2023-07.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve Ordinance 2023-07.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that is all we had on the agenda for tonight. No fun things like executive sessions or any of those. So, lots of fun stuff going on at the legislature. It's the time of year when we start looking at each other saying, I don't know. Mark probably wants to say something.
Yeah, if any of the council members want it, our office always does a legislative update. It's kind of a living document that we just keep updating with where it's at in process, what new bills are. If you want it, I can certainly provide it. I gave a copy, a physical copy to Chris, but I could email her the digital, and that could be shared if you want to kind of keep track, because we try and keep track of particularly the ones that affect local government. If there's ever anything missing, we're welcome, or we invite comment to add stuff to it.
Please. I would like it. Thank you.
Okay. I'll share it with Chris.
And then I'll continue to send what I do every Friday as I get those. So.
Yeah, those are, I like the updates from there.
Okay. All right. That's all we have. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.